Mr. Blow, thank you for coming today.
Yeah,
it's great to be
for having
interviewing
me.
you. I'd like to just get right into it right now. In the book, The Devil You Know, you suggest that Black Americans should move to the South where they can concentrate their numbers in order to leverage more political power. How would you motivate Black Americans to return to the South?
Well, the great thing is that it's already happening. So probably since the Great Migration ended in 1970, it has been happening. Yet people have been moving back south, but for at least the last 15 to 20 years, newspaper reporters have been reporting about this phenomenon. If you look at census data, it continues to show that cities in the North and West are losing Black population. Some of them are moving out to the suburbs, but many of them are moving back to the South. I myself moved to Atlanta. Atlanta is a kind of a nexus of reverse migration for the South. But in the last 30 years, the Black population doubled in Georgia because of this reverse migration. In part, some of it was regional migration in, but some of it was reverse migration from people in the North and West. And that is really encouraging. So what I don't have so much of a heavy lift because I don't have to convince people from scratch. What I'm trying to do is encourage even more people to move.
So another question about another one of your books, Fire Shut Up in My Bones. It examines your intersectional identities as a bisexual Black man who grew up in a working class family in the Deep South. Are some of these identities more important than others in defining who you are today professionally, personally?
It's really interesting because, you know, James Baldwin once said that the question of race is paramount, that it came before his question of queerness. And that, you know, that to be born in the Black body, you were already marked and menaced from the beginning, that the sexual question just added another form of menace to the existence. I find that this is really a question for other people's consideration. It's not necessarily my own. I think that other people encounter you and they kind of prioritize which thing they consider first. Nat Geo did this amazing story once about how quickly we register race, though, that the human brain registered before they register whether or not you're a man or a woman. Like, it's the first thing we register. So I think in other people's consideration, I think maybe it is in that way. I think for me, as a professional, a person living in the world, I think that poverty was probably the thing that stood out to me more, that separated me more from other people. Because even in, you know, I went to work at the New York Times when I was 20. I interned there, and then I went to work there when I was 24 years old. And you had a lot of Black people, but they were all, or many of them, had the same life experiences. They had all were relatively wealthy. They'd gone to the same boarding schools. They'd all gone to the same Ivy League schools. Difference for me, or about me, was that I had none of that. I had been a poor kid in the South. I had gone to this only school in my town. I'd gone to college, literally the closest college to my town. The idea of, you know, having an elite existence was just not part of me. And I think that has informed me. And also, I think it has informed my writing, the sound of it. It sounds Southern, it sounds rural, it sounds like the old people I grew up around, and that's on purpose because I think that that is most true to me. So if I had to kind of rank them, that comes in very high. I think then the issue of race comes into play, and then the issue of sexuality or sexual identity comes into race, into place.
I think a good way to deal with racism is to encourage people from different backgrounds to express their opinions openly and honestly with each other without fear of judgment. What do you think about this stance from the point of view of people being able to express things openly?
I think that is good and noble. The problem is that we can't make that the criteria for people's enlightenment because it's not enough people. Right, there's just not, you know, there's 14% Black people in America. Like, there's not enough of us to pass around. And also, it's a burden. Like, the idea that I need to sit down, and if I sit with you, then you'll be a better person. because you've now been exposed to someone who looks like me. It shouldn't be necessarily an issue of exposure. It should be, enlightenment should come because you want to be a better person, not because you want to treat me better.
Well, thank you for your answers. I would look forward to your talk tonight.